welcome to All Sides with Dan Fisher. The Republican National Convention was supposed to kick off today, but Tropical Storm Isaac got in the way. Instead, the official kickoff will occur today, but with the rest of the event to follow starting tomorrow. One question is whether party leaders will extend the convention through Friday. That's been discussed. And another is whether any of that matters, since the major broadcast networks have decided against airing all but an hour or so a night. The big exception? WOSU-TV and PBS will offer extensive primetime live coverage of the GOP convention, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Thursday. Of course, Monday is debatable, but who cares? 89.7 NPR News will also provide live coverage Monday through Thursday evenings. WOSU, PBS, and NPR will provide complete primetime coverage of the Democratic convention as well. And don't forget our political coverage on WOSU.org. So, time flies, doesn't it? Just 4 years ago, Mitt Romney was just another orator at the Republican National Convention. Let's listen to him then.
We Americans inherited the greatest nation in the history of the earth. It's our burden and our privilege to preserve it, to renew its spirit so that its noble past is prologue to its glorious future. To this we're all dedicated, and I firmly believe, by the providence of the Almighty, that we will succeed. President McCain and Vice President Palin will keep America as it has always been, the hope of the earth. Thank you, and God bless America.
Okay, so that didn't happen. This year, as a Republican presidential nominee to be formalized this week as well, Mitt Romney's will be the speech to hear. Joining us now to talk about what that speech might include and to preview the rest of the Republican convention is Bill Hershey, retired Columbus Bureau correspondent for the Dayton Daily News, a veteran of 10 political conventions in his day. Welcome, Bill Hershey, to the show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Also with us is Paul Beck. He's OSU Press Professor of Political Science, a frequent guest on the show. Welcome, Paul, to the show again.
Good to be here, Ann.
Coming up later from Tampa, Florida, Jessica Wehrman. She's a correspondent for the Columbus Dispatch, Washington Bureau. So stay tuned for that. For our listeners, what do you predict will happen? What do you think is the one important element that must occur at this election, or I'm sorry, at this convention, to make it worth the trouble? 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. So the idea is that the convention is an opportunity to reshape the race. How much reshaping does the race need right now, Bill Hershey?
I think the race, by any poll we look at, is very close in Ohio and across the nation. The one advantage President Obama has, and this came out in just another national poll that was released this morning in which Romney had just a teeny edge, is the so-called likability. Politics shouldn't be a popularity contest, but at least it is partly. And Romney is not as well liked by the voters as the president is. And there seems to be some debate as to whether he'll use his speech to try to improve his likability. He said to some interviewers that, "I'm going to be who I am. I'm not going to change myself." But I don't know if he's going to give his wife, Ann, a smooch a la Al Gore and Tipper Gore, or do something to come across as a little more warm and fuzzy than he has been so far, because that is the one deficit he has in his contest against President Obama.
Right. The polls now show him, you know, within 3-6 to 0 percentage points within the Obama race. Paul Beck, what do you think about reshaping?
Well, there are two things to think of about the polls. One is what it shows nationally, which in some ways doesn't matter a lot, because the contest is really going to be decided in 10 to a dozen states that are swing states, so-called swing states. It's those polls that make a difference. And as Bill pointed out, one of those polls in Ohio puts the races very close, and it's tended to be very close in the polls that we see in the other states. On likability, the question really is, what does that mean? And I think what it means for a lot of voters is a president who can put himself in their shoes, who has empathy for them, and that's where likability really becomes important. And I think we're seeing that in the race so far, and you're absolutely right that the Republicans and Governor Romney very much want to use the convention as a way to define Romney as somebody who is indeed more likable, more empathetic with ordinary people.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and I'm talking with Bill Hershey, retired Columbus Bureau correspondent for the Dayton Daily News. Also, Paul Beck, professor of political science at Ohio State University. Questions or comments, want to join our conversation about the upcoming Republican National Convention in Tampa, Florida, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Or you can go to our Facebook page as well and post your question or comment there. The issue of reconnecting with the public, I've heard that word bandied about particularly. Has he ever connected with the larger American public? And that's not to be critical either, but has he ever reached that point where people connected with him?
I'm not sure that he has. President Obama had an advantage there because of a political convention, 2004. Most of the second string speakers, or not the main speakers, we don't pay too much attention to them, but President Obama electrified the convention in 2004 with a speech about not a red America, not a blue America, but a red, white, and blue America. And people did connect with him. Governor Romney, during the course of the primaries and caucuses, even had trouble connecting with the Republican electorate. If you remember the sequence of caucuses and primaries, there was always, well, let's have anybody but Romney. There was a series of candidates who competed against him, and finally the Republicans were left with him. And I think for the Republicans, his choice has really become anybody but Obama. So I think this is a chance for him to maybe initially connect with him. I don't know that he can give a speech like President Obama did or that President Reagan. That's not his strong suit, but he has an opportunity to do better than he has in the past.
And I was wondering, because there's such limited coverage this year, except for NPR and PBS, how many people will be listening to all of the other speeches, and to what extent those speeches traditionally or historically, and this year as well, are used to sort of, lay the groundwork for that final cataclysmic moment?
Conventions, in a way, have two audiences. One is the audience in the convention hall and other partisans around the country who are connected to people in the convention hall. The other audience, of course, is the audience of ordinary Americans out there. Television isn't covering the conventions as much as it used to, so that ordinary audience is not going to see things directly in many cases, though they will hear them secondhand and things get replayed across the days after the convention. Romney has to both appeal to the audience inside and energize them and make them feel that he indeed is a nominee that they can have confidence in. Not that they're going to question the nomination, but it's their enthusiasm for the ticket that's really going to be in question. And he has to appeal to the audience outside. And that's a very tricky kind of thing, particularly for a Republican Party that these days has become more ideologically conservative.
So, Bill Hershey, I was listening to Jeb Bush yesterday on one of the talk shows, and he's going to talk about education. I didn't get the sense so he's going to kind of lay out some vision for education that I suppose would be in tune with the Republican platform and so forth. But I didn't really hear about anybody what other people might be saying about Mitt Romney. Is that typically what happens, or what's the usual usage?
I think that Ann Romney is going to have a lot to say about Mitt Romney. And she has come across as a very appealing speaker. She has a great human story of her own, overcoming, I believe, cancer and dealing with MS, if I'm not mistaken. And then I think the vice presidential nominee, Paul Ryan, who is also a good speaker, is going to say a lot of really good things about Mitt Romney. So they'll be trying to warm up the crowd for Mitt Romney, and they want to be warmed up, as Paul just said.
So just going back to the idea of the major broadcast networks, Barry, covering, you're saying a lot less than usual, and it's a lot less than usual. It's historical. Of course, going back to pre-television days, not so much. But if one of the goals of the convention is to connect with a broad range of people, so who's watching? Who's really paying attention? It sounds like it's the political junkies and the diehard Republicans. And of course, I'm sure you can listen online and that sort of a thing.
Well, people will see snippets of coverage from the convention. The major speeches will get capsules of them. So that coverage will be there. It's you know, the point that you were making a minute ago is an important one, and that is that the conventions really didn't become public events until the 1950s, when they were first covered in a major way by television. And so we had that period from the 1950s all the way up until, what, 10 years ago or 12 years ago or so, where they really were major public events. And now we're moving away from that, partly because the candidates, the potential nominees, want to manage the convention very intensively to make sure that they get a bounce coming out of it, that it is really portraying them in the most favorable light. And the media understand that and probably don't want to see themselves as contributing to that. And so they will pick and choose, trying to look at important things. The other thing to say about the speakers, by the way, is that some of the speakers will be dedicated to promoting the Romney candidacy. Mm-hmm. Some of them will have that dedication, but they are also dedicated to advancing themselves for the future. Think of Obama in 2004. And so you see somebody like Jeb Bush, who could be a presidential candidate the next time around. He doesn't want to say anything that would damage his prospects in 2016. And yet, of course, he also doesn't want to say anything that will damage Romney's prospects this year. So they have kind of a dual purpose in mind, in a way that probably Paul Ryan, or certainly Ann Romney, and certainly Mitt Romney himself, don't share.
Yeah, Bill Hershey.
In a way, the parties are victims of their own success. As Paul said, we begin televising the conventions in the 50s and the 60s, and there was a good bit of spontaneity in that time. It was spontaneity that backfired. I can think of three particular instances. 1968 for the Democrats, when there were riots in the streets of Chicago. It was great television, great drama, but it certainly didn't help Hubert Humphrey. And then in 1972, when George McGovern was the Democratic nominee. If I remember correctly, he was nominated, or his acceptance speech came in the middle of the night when everybody had gone to bed. And that was great spontaneity. And then in 1992, President George H.W. Bush was running for a second term. And one of the reasons I think he didn't win a second term was Pat Buchanan was very spontaneous in his ideological speech that kind of woke people up. Both parties want these conventions managed so there are no surprises. No surprises, not very good television, so why bother to broadcast it?
Just want to remind folks, WOSU-TV and PBS will offer extensive primetime live coverage of the GOP convention beginning tomorrow night at 8 p.m. 89.7 NPR News will also provide live coverage beginning tomorrow night. We're talking about the Republican National Convention today with Paul Beck, OSU professor of political science, and also Bill Hershey, retired Columbus Bureau correspondent for the Dayton Daily News, a veteran of 10 national conventions. If you have a question or comment, want to join the conversation, give us a call, 614-292-8513. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
This is 89.7 NPR News, and you can discover more about WOSU Public Media by signing up for our WOSU FYI e-newsletter. Just visit WOSU.org/email and sign up to receive a biweekly arts and culture e-newsletter featuring program highlights from radio and television, special event information, ticket offers, news about WOSU partners, and much more. Visit WOSU.org/email right now and sign up for the WOSU FYI e-newsletter. And it's 76 degrees in downtown Columbus, clouds with scattered showers and thunderstorms today, a high right around 81. Rain likely tonight as well, a low of 66 degrees. Sunshine on Tuesday with a high of 82 and more sunshine Wednesday with a high of 81. All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
Welcome back. The Republican convention in Tampa, Florida, technically gets underway today. They're going to do some little ritual formality, but the real story begins tomorrow and in Tampa because of tropical storm, presumptive Hurricane Isaac. We'll be hearing more about that with Jessica Wehrman. She's a correspondent for the Columbus Dispatch Washington Bureau. She's in Tampa today, and she'll be giving us a call in a few minutes and join the conversation. With me right now, Bill Hershey, retired Columbus Bureau correspondent for Dayton Daily News. Bill, once again, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here.
Also, Paul Beck, OSU professor of political science. Paul, once again, thanks for joining us again.
Good to be here, Ann.
If you want to join the conversation, 614-292-8513. You could email us at allsides@wosu.org. If you're a Republican, what are you hoping to see out of the Republican convention in Tampa? Give us a call and tell us what you think. What are your hopes and dreams for your presumptive nominee at this point, Mitt Romney, and also his running mate, Paul Ryan? What does Mitt Romney need to say? We've talked generally about that likability factor, connecting with people. What does that mean in his case? It means different things for different people. So in his case, what does that mean?
Well, it's always a tricky thing, but I think what he has to do is try to reach out more than he did during the primaries to sort of the non-ideological center of the American public. Now, again, you know, different people have different views as to what being in the center means. And so he's got to kind of navigate that minefield. He also can't do it in such a way that the 5,000 people sitting out there on the floor who are strong Republicans and very dedicated to their party question his loyalty to the Republican agenda. One of the things conventions do, by the way, is pass a platform. And it's a platform that we already hear that Romney won't subscribe to 100%. And so there's that potential issue there. This brings us back to kind of the Pat Buchanan issue in 1992 of a speaker who was kind of uncontrolled at the convention, who sketched out a picture of the party that those people in the center probably didn't like very well, or at least were a little scared of. And Romney doesn't want that to happen. He also, as a politician, I think, is somebody who doesn't take great risks. So he's going to be very cautious and very careful and try to be very, very human in terms of the presentation that he makes at the convention.
Yeah, Bill Hershey?
I think that we talk about connecting with the ordinary voters and ordinary people. Most of us are ordinary. Mitt Romney certainly isn't. He has a fortune of $250 million, I think. But that doesn't disqualify him from appealing to people. And it may be too much to ask from him. But when we think of presidents and candidates who have used conventions and campaigns to succeed, we might think about President Kennedy, who challenged the nation to a more dangerous future almost, go out into the world and help other people. President Reagan in 1980, the country was in a kind of a funk, and he got up there and said, "We can do better, we can be a great country." He appealed to people. President Clinton in 1992 came along with his bridge to whatever it was, the 21st century, I think. But, you know, we can laugh about this a little bit, and it's sort of corny, but it worked.
It worked. He got, I think, something like a huge bounce from that convention in 1992, something like 16
yes.
points or something outrageous. It's
again,
never happened again.
I'm not sure that Mitt Romney is a very capable business person, but not all politicians are created equally. And this is not something he's been known for in the past, vision casting.
That's right. I remember the 1980 convention where what Reagan had to do was demonstrate to swing voters that he was an acceptable alternative to this president they weren't very satisfied with. In a way, that's an analogous situation to what we have today in 2012. And Romney has to kind of sell them that it's worth taking a chance on him. It may be easier for him than it was for Reagan, because Reagan had this image of being very conservative. That is not Romney's image, although he's done a lot to try to play that down during the nomination process. And so we'll see how he tries to do that and whether he can be successful in doing that.
Jessica Wehrman, are you with us?
I am. How are you today?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm joining you from not so sunny Tampa.
Not so sunny. It's raining there, right?
Not right now, actually. Okay. You would think with the hurricane coming in, it would be a little bit more of a mess, but basically it just kind of looks like a gloomy, rainy day so far. Now, I don't know if we're going to get a little bit more later on, if wind's going to pick up, but I know there are areas in Tampa that, low-lying areas that are flooding.
Yeah, that's what I've understood, is that it's not so much wind as it is water levels.
You know, the biggest problem, and obviously, you know, the RNC was looking out for the safety delegates, because you really just don't know until the very last minute how bad it's going to be. But one of the bigger problems is traffic. There's a ton of bridges. There are hotels where delegations are staying that are out near the beaches, and they have to go over these bridges. And nobody really wants to go over a big bridge in high wind and high water. And so I think it's probably a little bit more convenient that for the delegates as well that they wound up holding off. It would have been a bit of a traffic nightmare.
So what are the expectations now? What's going to happen today, and how are things going to get underway tomorrow?
So today they're gaveling in for about, I think, 10 to 20 minutes. They're basically going to gavel in and gavel out, and that'll happen this afternoon. And then folks will retire back to their hotels for whatever state events they have. Now, tomorrow, they've got a longer schedule. Originally, it was more of a night-focused schedule, but they're trying to get as many of the speakers crammed in from all 4 days into all 3 days as possible. The other unknown factor is, where does a storm land? If the storm winds up going to New Orleans, this is kind of not a great reminder of a storm that happened a few years back in New Orleans. There is worries that this could be a damaging storm there. So they're keeping an eye on the situation. They'll adjust as necessary, but right now we're kind of making sure, you know, the show goes on Tuesday, well, a little bit today and then Tuesday as well.
There's been talk of extending it to Friday. I was thinking logistically, how in the world could that happen?
I wonder about that too, and I haven't heard that. You know, the thing that people don't realize, I think people think that the parties wind up just buying everybody's tickets and paying for their hotels. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. These delegates pay often for their own travel arrangements. They come here at their own expense. Now, when they get here, they do go to, you know, parties and things where there's food.
It should be said, the Ohio delegates, they got it sweet.
Oh, they've got a suite. Yeah, suite hotels, or what do you?
No, I mean that they have it suite. I mean they're very special. They get ringside seats. It's a swing, an important swing state with lots of electoral votes.
Yes, the fact we've got 66 delegates, voting delegates here, and then there's obviously the alternates and the honorary delegates and their guests and that sort of thing, and they get pretty good treatment. I will say. Now, you know, I have to laugh because a couple of weeks ago, I was here for personal reasons, and I was staying on the beach side, and I talked to the manager of the hotel. He said, yes, the Kentucky delegation's here. And I thought, well, why didn't the Ohio delegation get a beachside location? And now, with the storm, I'm going, that worked out okay, actually.
Because so, usually the reporters stay where the delegation that they follow.
Yeah, we stay with the delegation. They have breakfast first thing in the morning. Now, you talk about them getting a pretty sweet deal. This is a pretty good example. This morning, I just got back to my hotel room from a breakfast that had guest speakers, including Ari Fleischer and one of the Romney sons. And you'll forgive me, they switched out Romney sons at the last minute. I think it was Josh.
Okay.
and they're going to have another Romney son later on this week. Condi Rice is supposed to speak to the delegation, the chairman of the RNC, Karl Rove, the governor of Virginia, who's, you know, that's swing state as well. So, these aren't bad speakers. This isn't a bad slate of speakers coming in every morning. And then obviously Senator Rob Portman and Pat Tiberi, who spoke to the delegation this morning. We are front and center. The delegation is front and center at the convention center, so they'll, you know, be within spitting distance, as it were. They get a pretty good gig. They also have the slate of parties that they normally have. Last night, House Speaker John Boehner hosted a party for them at a sort of a beachside resort. There will be other parties. They did wind up switching one party that was supposed to occur tonight in Ybor City, which is sort of a kind of a Cuban neighborhood in Tampa, and they wound up saying they're just going to have that party here at this hotel instead.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Jessica Wehrman. She's a correspondent for the Columbus Dispatch Washington Bureau. She's in Tampa, where the Republican National Convention is set to get underway technically today, but more thoroughly tomorrow because of tropical storm slash Hurricane Isaac coming up the coast. Also with us, Paul Beck, OSU professor of political science, and Bill Hershey, retired Columbus Bureau correspondent for the Dayton Daily News. Questions or comments, you're welcome to join the conversation, 614-292-8513. And Gail in Clintonville, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Gail.
Hello. I want to know when the conventions really changed. I mean, one of your guests touched on it briefly, but when I was a kid growing up in the 50s, I remember it was much more interesting because it was, you know, the edge of your seat kind of thing. One, each delegate from the different delegates from the different states would get up and say, "Mr. Speaker, Ohio casts its 27 votes for yada, yada, yada." And then every state would go around the room and do that. So, and, you know, it was really sort of up between, I think, two or three people, it seemed, until the end of the night. You stayed up all night to watch that. So what election year did that change, and why?
Paul Beck?
Well, there really have been two major changes in, I'll say, my lifetime, maybe not your lifetime, but it seems like your lifetime, too, probably. One of them is the onset of television, and television made the proceedings much more camera-oriented than they had been in the past. But the really important one was the move in 1972 to primaries, to the use of primaries to select delegates to the convention, delegates who were committed to candidates. And so from 1972 on, we really knew in advance of the convention who the nominee was going to be in each party. 1968, that tumultuous Democratic convention in Chicago was one that nominated a candidate for president, Hubert Humphrey, who had won not a single delegate in the primaries. And so it's really a sea change between 68 and 72. And, of course, once we had changed and moved more to primaries, we really couldn't close that door. One other footnote to add to that is that there is a debate going on right now at the Republican convention in the Rules Committee. And it'll be a debate on the floor as to whether candidates who come in first or who earn delegates, one would think, in the primaries, can have those delegates taken away from them because that particular state selects its delegates not from the primaries, but from party meetings.
You mean like Ron Paul?
Like Ron Paul. Iowa's a great case in point where Ron Paul has now the lion's share of the delegates from Iowa, even though he didn't win them based on his primary performance or his caucus performance.
Yeah. Well, I just remember it being very much more interesting TV to watch back in the 50s when, you know, you didn't really know, you know, until the end of the convention. So
those, in fact, were the days when
those
the conventions were very, very exciting.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Gail. Len in Lewis Center, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Len.
Well, thank you very much. I've just got a quick question. I just wonder who's paying for all these extravagant parties and meals and things like that. And if I contribute to the Republican Party or to the Romney campaign, am I paying for that?
Well, let's see. Jessica Wehrman, you want to take a swipe at that?
Actually, the parties are underwritten by corporate sponsors. There's a slate of corporate sponsors for many of them. Last night at the Boehner party, I know that there was the National Wholesale Beer Association was one of the underwriters. And
that's a
this
party.
Week, well, yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of many on that on there. And then the Ohio delegation, there's a number of Ohio-based companies that are on the list of sponsors. Now, the one thing I've been trying to figure out, and I have yet to determine, is how much do you spend as a sponsor, or do you just promise to underwrite certain things? For example, if I am a sponsor, I will underwrite this breakfast, or I will underwrite this cocktail party. But a lot of it is actually done by corporate sponsors.
And the delegates pay their own way.
Yes.
As you mentioned earlier, and they pay for their own hotel rooms, all things being equal.
Well, it sounds to me like then that the party and the delegate and the presidential candidate is going to be kind of beholden to these people.
Well, that is definitely an argument that is made before.
Okay, Len, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Take care. 614-292-8513 if you want to join the conversation. Jessica, what are people talking about now at the convention? Does it become sort of insulated and the whole Todd Akin issue goes away? The birth certificate issue that Mitt Romney raised again over the weekend, I think, goes away, and they're just talking about, do they just patting each other on the back and talking about good things and happy things?
Well, I mean, let's not be mistaken. I mean, a lot of this convention and the Democrat convention next week is sort of a cheerleading session for party faithful, for the folks who do the grunt work and, the work on the ground in Ohio or whatever state they happen to be in. So there is a good degree of patting each other on the back, I have not heard word one, but I'm sure we'll be asking at some point about the Akin situation. And also keep in mind, there's a storm heading this way, so that's kind of taken a lot of the air out of the room. So I think probably a lot of these conversations will ensue as the week proceeds. We're still in the beginning of the week. A lot of the folks just arrived yesterday. But so far, the speeches have been very, we need to elect Mitt Romney, the economy, he's the only one who can fix the economy. That's been sort of the underlying theme that I've heard. There's not been a lot of discussion over social issues. There's not been discussion over, congressmen's skinny dipping in the Sea of Galilee.
That's right. I knew there was something else out there.
Yeah, I know. I mean, but a lot of the focus has been on the storm. And quite frankly, you can't help but go think that Mitt Romney is probably sitting somewhere going, oh, great, because, you turn on CNN and it's a split. You've got a split screen. You've got the storm and the big giant, storm going across the Gulf of Mexico and then the Republican convention, by the way. So,
Bill Hershey, is that pretty typical in any given year, this might be worse than others, but...
Oh, I think it is, but I wanted to ask Jessica, how does this distraction compare with the distraction for the Republicans 4 years ago? I think she was up in Minnesota when...
I was, and 4 years ago we had another storm heading toward... It was Gustav, which, it's funny because it was 4 years ago and I had to rack my brain, what was the name of that storm? But at the time, it really was, it really stressed people out. And this was right after Katrina. So there was sort of a, Republicans are very sensitive about Katrina and the handling of that. And there was a lot of concern that, they would look like they were just partying away while Gustav was attacking the coast. At that time, what they did was scale back considerably. There was, for example, a riverboat party hosted by then-Senator George Voinovich. And I remember that someone who was passing the hat, basically, and giving contributions to the victims. Now, similarly, it's a little bit different now because the delegation, Ohio, is actually in the storm zone. But I'm sure as the storm continues and we see where it hits and what it's going to look like, that we'll see a similar amount of concern and scaling back, rescheduling, that sort of thing. Again, folks won't be going to this restaurant in Ybor City. They'll be staying nearby to socialize. They're just saying they're going to take it as it comes. They say they're willing to sort of roll with it as it were. And actually some of the delegation has said, this is great. We can hang out with our delegation a little bit more. We'll be sort of, united together. So we'll be able to kind of get our ground game in gear, so to speak.
You're listening to Jessica Wehrman, correspondent for the Columbus Dispatch Washington Bureau. She's in Tampa, Florida, where the Republican National Convention will technically get underway today and go forward hopefully tomorrow. Also with us, Paul Beck, political scientist at OSU, and Bill Hershey, retired Columbus Bureau correspondent for the Dayton Daily News, veteran of many, many national conventions. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, we are in Tampa, in the hall, raising the curtain on the Republican National Convention and the race for the White House. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
And On Point is this afternoon from 1 until 2 right here on 89.7 NPR News. And join us in 20 minutes at 11 o'clock for hour 2 of All Sides. And forget about the temperature outside. It's harvest time. Get some tips for the garden and the kitchen. That's on All Sides with Ann Fisher, hour 2 from 11 till noon here on 89.7 NPR News. 78 degrees in cloudy skies. There is a good chance of rain this afternoon, maybe a thunderstorm, and a high near 81 degrees. Showers are likely tonight as well, a low of 66. Mostly sunny for Tuesday, a high of 82. More sunshine Wednesday, a high of 81. And for the latest from All Sides with Ann Fisher, be sure to visit our website, WOSU.org/allsides. There you can explore the archive, which includes audio, video, and podcasts of every show. Also, be sure to like All Sides on Facebook and follow the show on Twitter at WOSU All Sides. And the program continues right here on 89.7 NPR News.
We are talking about the Republican National Convention. It technically gets underway today in Tampa, Florida. Unfortunately, there is a tropical storm on its way as well, and it's been delayed by a day for all intents and purposes. There's very little coverage of the convention by the major broadcast networks, except for WOSU-TV and PBS will be offering extensive primetime live coverage of the GOP convention beginning Tuesday at 8 p.m. through Thursday. 89.7 NPR News will also provide live coverage Tuesday through Thursday evenings, and WOSU, PBS, and NPR will provide complete primetime coverage of the Democratic Convention as well. And also, you can always go to WOSU.org and check out our political coverage ongoing. With us today, Jessica Wehrman. She's correspondent for the Columbus Dispatch Washington Bureau. She's talking to us from Tampa, Florida. Jessica, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And Paul Beck, political scientist at OSU. Paul, thanks again for joining us.
Good to be here.
And Bill Hershey, retired Columbus Bureau correspondent for Dayton Daily News. Bill, glad you could join us today.
Paul, thank you.
So a couple things regarding underwriting for the conventions. Bill, you want to make the point that the Democrats, this happens for the Democrats, too. This is...
Yeah, they're a little more touchy about it because they're supposed to be the party of the people and so forth. But they want as much money from the corporate sponsors as the Republicans do, so their breakfasts and other events can be something that the delegates like.
Harry in Akron, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Harry.
Yes, ma'am. We're talking about finances. I'm wondering, do you think, and your panel, do they think that maybe the elimination of corporate sponsorship for these conventions and things might eliminate corporate influence in our political system if we were to put a law on the books that say, hey, these companies aren't allowed to sponsor conventions, they're not allowed to do this type of activity anymore because that money is influencing decisions made after elections inside our political system?
Well, kind of like political campaign contributions.
I don't know. Right.
Paul Beck.
Should we eliminate their sponsorship at all levels, period? Just no corporate sponsorship. That way, average Americans like me feel that the decisions our politicians mm-hmm. are making represent me and not the political, the companies, the corporations.
Well, let's see, Harry. Paul, the protections for this are the same as the protections for campaign contributions?
Actually, they're even greater.
Okay.
One might wish that corporations, labor unions, and other interest groups weren't influential, or as influential as they are in the process, but that's part of politics. We need to remember that the conventions are really private events that the political parties hold to bring together their party leaders from the 50 states and territories. They're not governmental events. I think there would be even less likelihood of any kind of regulation of contributions and expenditures at a national party convention than there is in political campaigns.
Jessica, when there are these underwriters, do they make a big hairy deal out of it, or is it tasteful and discreet?
That's always sort of a matter of dispute. I mean, the events that I've been at, there's a brief thank you to the sponsor, and that's pretty much about it. You could have an entire show about money and politics and the influence of politics, mm-hmm. Conventions versus
political campaigns versus Citizens United, which is just a whole other ball of wax. But the potential, the unseen potential at this point, because, you know, we don't know how it's going to turn out, to really be a game changer for politics. So, I mean, there's just so many different ways to sort of crack at this nut, so to speak. But, you know, the events that I've been at, they just basically, somebody says a thank you, and that's about
That's about it. Okay, mm-hmm. Harry from Akron, thanks a lot for that call. Jessica, what about the Tea Party? 4 years ago, they basically didn't exist. To what extent are they making themselves known at this convention this year?
They are here. This morning, I had an email pop up, and I've been talking to some folks from the Ohio Tea Party. They're here. They're active. Some are active in the party itself. Some are active in the Ron Paul sort of side events that are going on as well. And, you know, they would argue that they've definitely influenced the debate, that they've been able to sort of really drive at fiscal issues. Now, last week, before they came out here, the group of Tea Party folks, including two Ohio Tea Party people who were developing a were working with the platform committee to get their, you know, their issues included. And all of their issues were fiscal. They tried very hard to stay away from issues such as illegal immigration, that sort of thing. They wanted to make sure that there was a focus on fiscal issues, on bringing down debt, on cutting spending, on limiting regulations, which they argue is an economic issue because it's a job killer. So they're here, and they're definitely making an influence, their influence known.
And then another aspect of the convention that might be different than 4 years ago would be social media. Are you sensing? I mean, are you tweeting? Or what's going on with that? And how do you think that might change things? How do you think that might change things given the dearth of broadcast coverage?
Well, they've talked a lot about this as being a convention without walls, meaning basically they're trying to make this sort of interactive so anybody can really attend the convention, be it through streaming, be it through social media. There are text messages, which quite frankly are incredibly handy when you're, you know, wondering about the schedule because of, you know, whatever, because of the tropical storm, you know, how to what degree have things been changed. So we're getting periodic texts. The Ohio delegation is getting texts. So not just social media, but technology at all levels. It's just sort of moved forward, I think, in the last 4 years, and it's made it much easier to communicate. You know, it's a very decentralized location. The Ohio Hotel, for example, is about 20 minutes away from the convention center itself. So you really have to be reliant on technology to make sure you're kept up to date, that you're doing the things you need to do, that you're showing up to the bus on time. And, you know, everything from the logistical to sending the message is where social media is involved. And yeah, I've been tweeting and blogging this morning at breakfast, and I'm sure I will continue to do so.
What about the media itself? Is it the same as usual? Do you feel like it's a lighter load this year? There aren't as many along for the ride, or what? Are we getting the coverage?
Well, the Dispatch has sent three folks, and I've some folks from the Plain Dealer and from the Dayton Daily News as well. So in terms of newspapers, I really pay attention primarily to the Ohio newspapers, sort of under the assumption the national media will be here as well. And we're here to, I think, similar force as we were 4 years ago. That fortunately has not changed. And it's an important event to go to for two reasons. Obviously, it's a chance for the party to get together. So you want to sort of see what the party is doing in terms of crafting message, in terms of, you know, pushing out their message. How successful will Mitt Romney be at really getting people to know who he is? Because they're, you know, as you were talking about earlier, that's the one thing he really has to do at this convention, is sort of make sure people sort of relate to him and like him a little bit more. So that's important, and it's an important reason for the media to be here. They do draft a platform. It's important for us to be here too. And then it's also a chance. I'm based in Washington D.C. I have a phone relationship with many of the folks that I talk to because they're based in Ohio. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a chance to get to know them face to face, to be able to interact with them, and that's very useful.
Paul Beth?
Some numbers can give perspective on this. There are, I have read, 15,000 media credentialed people attending the convention.
Yeah.
There are between 4,000 to 5,000 delegates and alternates attending the convention. And so there's a heavy media presence there, much of it local media, by the way, who are doing what Jessica is doing, and that is kind of rubbing shoulders with people in the delegation from their state, getting to know them better, talking to them about their ideas and their policies.
Yeah, Bill Hershey.
Jessica, I wonder, Governor Kasich is there. Is he making an effort to speak to groups outside of the Ohio delegation? Do you know how much networking he's doing outside the state of Ohio?
You know, I'm not sure at this point. Now, you know, when, as I mentioned earlier, Bob McDonnell speaking to our breakfast on Thursday, his swing state governor. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. Now, I've been following Senator Portman quite a bit, so I'm not sure what the schedule is for the governor as well. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we're bringing him to breakfast and that sort of thing so he could help rally the troops, as I'm sure Governor McDonnell will be doing on Thursday.
He is speaking at the convention.
He is.
What's he going to say, Jessica? Any predictions?
He's going to probably, if I'm a guessing woman, if I'm a betting woman, I'm betting he's going to talk about Hold Ohio Up as a success because of the policies of his administration. I think that would probably be a big theme. And he'll talk about sort of what folks can learn from Ohio. Ohio's economy is rebounding slightly quicker than the rest of the nation, if you look at unemployment numbers.
And it'll be a little bit of an audition, perhaps.
Yeah, who knows?
614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have a few minutes left. We're talking about the Republican National Convention that gets underway in earnest tomorrow, technically today. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. From Rita on Facebook, she says, I really wish we wouldn't think of a presidential election as a popularity contest. I feel like these conventions contribute to the popularity contest. Any thoughts about that?
Well, they clearly do, and the candidates and their campaigns want to win that popularity contest. That, I think, is a part of being president. A president has to be able to draw support and legitimacy from the public. And so a president maybe doesn't have to be liked necessarily, but has to be respected and thought well of. And that's, I think, what we all want in our presidents. So it's a part of it. But their policies, of course, contribute to how well thought of they are as a candidate and a president ultimately.
People vote for an untold series of reasons. You know, they vote because they like where so-and-so is on a particular issue or that particular issue. They vote because they feel they can relate to this person, or they vote against somebody because they feel like you might look down on them. You know, there's just so many different things that go into why a person votes. And these days it feels like it's really party identification, and that really dominates why a person votes for another person. So, you know.
Governor Jan Brewer of Arizona yesterday said on one of the talk shows that it was an opportunity to unite Republicans. And I was wondering, to what extent is there a sense that they are distanced from each other at the convention, Jessica?
You mean the party that they're not united?
Yeah, she said it was an opportunity to unite them. And I wondered, okay, how
well,
disunite?
Well, that's kind of what it always is, isn't it? I mean, mm-hmm. That's what they do here. You know, and also the Democrats, you know, when they meet Charlotte, it's a chance for them to kind of get together and rally. It's a show of force to say, you know, Mitt Romney, this is our nominee. We support him, even though, you know, I might have supported Santorum or whatever in the primary. You know, part of this is there is a showmanship aspect of this, of saying, you know, this is your package of your candidate and your running mate and their families and that sort of thing. And in terms of uniting, there's just a variety of disparate elements in any political party. So that's always going to be the case. And the convention is a chance to do that.
Paul?
Yeah, that's exactly right. One of the major functions of a convention is to unite the team and build team spirit. Sometimes that's a challenge. If you think about this convention, a majority of the delegates are there because they were selected by the Romney campaign to be on their delegate slate. That means they are not necessarily representative or as representative as other delegates might have been of the Tea Party movement. And so there's some unification that needs to take place there. I think they will emerge at the end of the convention on Thursday or Friday pretty much on the same page on things. One thing that unites them, of course, is their opposition to President Obama. And that's a very, very powerful force.
At conventions, how much trashing of the opponent goes on?
This year, probably a lot in both conventions. I mean, this is kind of a nasty campaign. I think when the Republican chairman, and this is before the schedule got all thrown around by Isaac, early on, they kind of laid it out, and the early days were supposed to be sort of making the case against President Obama, all the stuff that, you know, Republicans feel he did not do in office. And then later on, you would be coming back to, they would be coming back and sort of saying, and here is the answer, Mitt Romney, and he would do this and X, Y, and Z, and here's a little bit about him and that sort of thing. So it would be kind of beginning to, by making the case against Obama's administration and his policies, and ending by saying, here's your answer.
Well, we're running out of time. I was just wondering if each of you could give me any kind of prediction on what sort of bounce the Republicans might get from this. Paul Beck?
I don't think there's really going to be much bounce out of it. The bounce that could have occurred comes often from the selection of a vice presidential running mate. That was done several weeks ago, and so whatever bounce was going to be there, and it really wasn't much,
right?
And varied a little bit from state to state, but in the end wasn't very much. Whatever bounce was going to be there, I think would have come at that point, has been kind of taken away.
Bill Hershey?
I think the weather and the possibility of a major storm is going to make it harder to get a bounce because, as someone said, people are going to be watching the weather report perhaps more than they're watching the convention.
And Jessica Werman?
I agree with that, Bill. I think that he really needed to be the star of the show this week. And this, unfortunately for a lot of reasons, because nobody wants to see that storm. Nobody wants to see any sort of, but I mean, it kind of detracts from the message that I think he really wanted and probably needed to send this week. So I think there will, if there's a bounce.
Well, Jessica, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And good luck there in Storm Alley.
Well, it's not so bad right now.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
You bet. Paul Beck, political scientist at OSU. Paul, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Ann.
And also Bill Hershey, retired Columbus Bureau correspondent for the Dayton Daily News. Bill, glad you could join us.
Oh, thank you. Good to be here.
Thanks for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.